God is good. Not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. Boy, I'm happy.
Amen.
Y'all happy?
Yeah.
I'm the happiest I've ever been. Amen. I ain't never been this old before. I'm 60. I just had a birthday. 63.
Amen.
Never been this old before. It's a new experience. But I'm happier than I've ever been. Am I happy? Not ever been, but I'm happy. I'm a happy man. I'm doing what I love to do. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's a vibe around here. Mm-hmm. It's a positive vibe. Isn't that good? Change is good.
It is.
Yeah, change. Endorse change. Change mm-hmm. is good. Mm-hmm. Amen. Change is good. Brother Stroud doing a wonderful job. Amen. Support your preacher. Yeah, support him. Support him. Give him the love. Everybody's working. Everybody's working. That's what's a good thing. We're all working. Amen, somebody. Yeah, I'm thankful. Thankful. Now, if you're here today, now you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're the VIP of our audience. We appreciate you. We want you to know that we love you. Amen. We do. We do. This whole day, we're praying that you will receive with meekness God's engrafted word. Know this now. Know this. That Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, he did. Did he die, y'all? He died on the cross. Hung there 6 long hours. Shed his blood that'll wash his sins away in baptism. Y'all believe he died? But he didn't just die, though. He suffered. Suffered long hours on that cross with nails in his hands and his feet. Why did he do that? Why did he do it? He did it so we could be saved. Yes, he had to go. He had to go to the cross. Yeah, he had to go to the cross. He didn't stay on that cross, though. They took him down after he died. Buried him in a borrowed tomb. What did he do, y'all? Resurrected early on a Sunday morning. With all power in his hand. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. We believe that, don't we, Church of Christ?
I do.
We believe that with all of our hearts. Those of us who are Christians, they're members of the church, we believe that. We repented of our sins. Amen. Y'all remember when you were baptized? How many of you remember when you were baptized? I remember when I met March the 31st, 1985. Fifth Ward Church. I seen Fifth Ward people here. Good to see them. I ain't seen them in a long time. That day I walked down the aisle, you know what I mean? I walked down the aisle and they baptized me 36 years ago or plus now. And you know, I feel like that was the greatest day of my life. The greatest day of my life when I was baptized, became a member of the Lord's church, the only church you read about in the Bible. There ain't one church in the Bible. Now, some of you visitors might not have heard that before. Y'all never heard that before. But there's number one church in the Bible. That's right. That's right. But one. Is that right?
That's right.
I mean, y'all believe the Bible is right. Yeah, and you got to be baptized to get in it. You can't sing your way in it. You can't pray your way in it. You got to be baptized to get in it. That's what the books say. Is that good? I'm just trying to get warmed up here. I've been preaching now. I've been preaching every Sunday. Every Sunday, I'm preaching somewhere. Somewhere preaching. That's what I love. That's what I love about this. It's a good thing when you can reach people that need Jesus. Now here's what I believe. I don't think that that I'm here because accidental reasons or just this is something we doing because Hollow Heights got a traveling evangelist, they got a local preacher. Not a lot of congregations doing this. Y'all know that, right? It's not a lot of congregations who have a minister outside of the walls working and one inside. And oftentimes we get narrowly focused on just growing Hollow Heights here. But we're national as a congregation. We're nationally known as a congregation. We're nationally known outside of Houston. We're across the United States. And over 250 plus congregations represent, know about Hollow Heights through our national program. Amen. Now, not a lot of congregations that not only have men at the congregation preaching, but men going out preaching. Without going overseas. Ours is national. A lot of people want to go over to El Salvador. We just trying to go next door.
Amen.
That's all we trying to do. I ain't going no El Salvador. No, I'm staying right here. Now, Jesus said, Lord, I'll be with y'all. I ain't flying over there. I'm gonna fly all over the United States and try to save somebody here in the Houston, in the area where we are. Is that good?
That's right.
I want you all to be proud of what we're doing. I'm talking to Hollow Heights now, just for a second or two. You need to be proud of what we're doing. Thankful for what we're doing. Support what we're doing. And pray, most importantly. Pray for what we're doing, amen. It's good to see some of the I feel like it was, y'all remember September 16th, 2007? Y'all remember what date that was?
Yeah,
that's the first time I walked into this building to preach full time. I feel that vibe is right here today. It's the same way. It's the same feeling. Name tags everywhere. Somebody, I ain't get a name tag. I'm just as upset as I can be. I ought to have me a name. I better have a name tag next to my shirt. And I guarantee you that money. Is that right? Said, Brother Brooks, just push it y'all ways, man. Ain't nothing changed. I better have a name tag. I'm still a minister, one of the ministers here. Is that right, Brother
Todd?
That's
right. That's
Brother
right.
God, make sure they give me a name tag. They don't want to know. They put a paper on me. I said, I don't want a paper. I want me a plastic tag. I want a good one, a pretty one y'all got here. Somebody ought to say amen. Make amen. Sure, Sorella, whoever messed up, I go to her and tell her y'all messed up. Now, let's get into the lesson. A little bit there, because this is the first time we've done this. So we need to know how exciting it is. I mean, how exciting it is. It's exciting. I'm just excited. I really am. And happy to. But, you know, I was thinking about, what am I going to talk about coming back? You know, like, man, it's the, and, you know, when you travel around, you think about, you see people that are really seriously lost. I mean, it's some serious stuff going on in the world. You know?
Amen.
There are some serious stuff going on in our government. There's serious stuff going on in the homes and families. And we're dealing with homosexuality. We're dealing with transgender stuff. We're dealing with wars. And we're dealing with all kind of mass shootings. And people are just dying from it's just listen to the news this morning. Just, you know, students shooting at parties and all kind of things. But guess what's going on that you have to think about? The people who die, and that's what I want to appeal to the heart of the listeners this morning. The people who die outside of Christ are tragically lost. The second death is what we want to avoid. And so a day like today, when we say Evangelism Sunday, what we're saying is that there are some people, if they don't obey God, they're going to die. And we don't know when that's going to be, right? I mean, and I always talk about the family portrait. If you don't know people are dying, go look at your family portrait. People are dying. We don't know who's next.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is that there are lots, all of us are now thinking about that. What if it's you? What if it's you to die today? What if you die today? What are you okay with the Lord? Is all well with your soul? That's a good thought, isn't it? It's a good thought for all of us to ponder. Not just visitors, but all of us who have a soul to be saved. Amen. We need to think about, are we okay with the Lord? Is that right, church? We need to be thinking about that. That's where I want you at this morning. I want you thinking in terms of, am I okay? What's your inner thought about your soul well-being? Listen to the Bible. Now, I want to talk about this morning the thought that's within you. A thought within, and I don't know what all your inner thoughts are this morning, but I already got it, your thoughts going in the direction that I needed to go. However, I don't know what you're going through. There are some things you're going through that I can't know and won't know. But you and God know what you may be rich, you may be poor, you may be up at the best, you may at your highest peak in your life, you may be at your lowest valley. I don't know where you are in your life, but I do know this, you are still thinking. You're having thoughts about your life, you're having thoughts about who you are, what you're about, where you're going. You ought to have some goals. And so we set goals to be good, to be successful in life. We set goals to accomplish degrees that we want. We set goals for everything. Have you set the goal to make sure, ensure your soul is saved?
Amen.
Have you set that goal? That's the number one goal. To seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Amen. All these other things be added unto you. Have you set the goal yet? Have you thought within yourself to set the goal? What are your thoughts? In Isaiah 55, where I want to launch from, listen to God speak through the prophet Isaiah. And he says in verse number 6, Isaiah 55, 6, seek ye the Lord
while he may be found.
Call ye upon him
while he is near.
You know, seek the Lord. Now here, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his what? Unrighteous man is what?
Thoughts.
Everybody say thoughts.
Thoughts.
That's what I need you leaving with today. The thought. It's the thought that I'm after. The thought within you. So Isaiah, then God said, let the wicked man, unrighteous man, his thought, let him return unto the Lord, will have mercy to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now verse 8, For God. Now here God come back and respond. God said, for my thought. Who thought? God's thought. He said, for my thought is not your thought. Okay, so now we all got thoughts. But here's the thing, but the goal and the alignment must be God's thought with your thought. But if your thought doesn't line up with God's thought, then it's a foolish thought. Wait a minute.
I said
it's a foolish. Any thought that doesn't line up with God's thought is a foolish thought. Now God said, your thought
are not my thought.
And he said,
neither are your ways my ways.
So how can we line up with God's thoughts? Here is the mind of God. But on a personal level, your thought can never line up with God's thought unless it lines up with God's word. Now, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even divide the sun of the soul, the spirit, joints and marrow, and watch this now, the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's word lines up with, we cannot line up on our own with our own thoughts because they're so far away from God's thoughts. Y'all with me? Mm-hmm. Then Isaiah said, God says, for the heavens are higher than the earth.
So
my ways are than yours. And now it says, my thoughts.
Than your thoughts.
Than your thoughts. So we got a problem, don't we? Mm-hmm. We got a problem. What is the problem? The problem is our inner thoughts can be a problem. And just know this, My emphasis more than being evangelistic is this. I know that every thought within you is known by you and God. But in the end, just know your thought is not God's thought. Any thought about your life, any thought about your death, any thought about your salvation that is not in keeping with the word of God, which is not pleasing him, will be considered a foolish thought. Now, how many of us have had foolish thoughts? Now, is my, get from Luke chapter 12. Now, I'm going to do two case studies, and this lesson going to be yours. Two case studies where I'll prove that there is a foolish way of thinking. Unfortunately, people who choose God and they do things in the name of God, but they never line up with God's thoughts are so far away, they won't know until the day of judgment they missed it. They won't know. Listen to this. In Luke 12, very first case study, he said, in verse number 13, the Bible says, and one of the company said unto him,
Master, speak to my brother. That he divide the inheritance with me.
Uh-huh, read.
And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?
Right, read.
And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness.
Now Jesus responded to this question. Now he says, now it's about inheritance or possessions, you know. So Jesus said, He said, take heed and beware of what?
Covetousness is just
wanting more stuff in life
that he possesses.
Hold on. But more stuff. Stuff. How many of us got some stuff? I mean, you got some stuff? You got a car, that's stuff. A house, that's stuff. Money, stuff. Mm-hmm. Possessions. Stuff. There's a bunch of stuff. Don't mean nothing. Die and leave it all to a fool. Somebody else be driving your car, riding in your house, living in your house, spending your money, eating your food, and enjoying your retirement check that you left behind because you had a whole lot of foolish thoughts. You thought that stuff meant something. Life without God has no meaning. The stuff we have don't mean anything. It won't mean anything on the day of judgment. And many people are focused on the stuff rather than on what God's will is for their life. Now watch this. He said that possession.
And he's
these are the things. A man like a citizen, not in abundance of things. Y'all see that? That stuff I was talking about. The thing that he was. So how many of you got some things in your thoughts this morning? Some things. Things. Notice what he said. Now here we are. So Jesus said, okay, let's deal with a parable. He spake a parable to him saying, talk about this rich man.
The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully.
Y'all there? Now here he come. Watch this. Now what is this man? He's a rich man, which means he got a lot of Stuff. Everybody say stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Lots of stuff. I tell my children, it's kind of funny, but when I die and they write a check, I hope it bounced. Somebody said, oh, come on, brother. Now, really, I mean, the stuff I earn, what I work for, it, man said, man, if he don't work, he don't what?
Eat.
So if I work for it, who would belong to?
You.
God. It belongs to God, don't it?
Yeah, it do.
But while I'm living, I'm trying to spend it all up on me. So I said, brother, that's selfish. Well, not really. If you leave your family, the most important thing you can leave your family. Not stuff. Not things. But faith. Now that's the foundation I left my children. The check won't help them. That's what I'm saying. The check needs to bounce. The faith needs to stand. That'll save their soul. Because most of us think of the things that we possess as important. Jesus proved here this stuff means nothing. Notice what he said. This man thought within himself, saying,
what shall I do because I have no
there's
room
the tower, right there.
To restore my fruits.
He thought where?
Within himself.
No, he says, what shall I do? Notice this individual's thoughts. His thoughts has no alignment with God at all. Notice what he said. What shall I do?
Because I have no room to restore my fruit.
And he said, this will I do. Look, these are inner thoughts. He's thinking this. So he's talking to himself. This is what I'll do. I'm going to do this. I'll pull down my barns
and build greater.
I want more than I already got. Notice what he says.
And there will be restored all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to myself.
Now here's why. Notice who you speak. Notice who's the conversation with. The conversation from within is with the soul. It's with the soul. Now the soul, according to there, the soul is the seat of feelings, desires, affections, aversions, our heart, our soul. The soul as an essence, which differs from the body, is not dissolved by death. The soul regarded as a moral being designed for everlasting life. So our thought within is the same person. The thought within is the one that's going to experience what the rich man and Lazarus did. The rich man, when he died, he started having thoughts. He started thinking back to his family, thinking back what he should have done when he was living. But I don't have time to go to Luke 16 this morning. But the man was having thought. What was that? His body was dead. It was in the ground. So the soul was yet torment. The soul had went to another place. There's a rich man, and then there was Lazarus. Lazarus' soul was with Abraham's bosom, and then a paradise. But the rich man's soul was talking. Go back and tell my family. Tell them. So our thoughts from within, and this individual here, it was by the soul. Now, Hebrew 4:12, what I quoted a while ago, the word of God is reaching the soul. So what I'm doing when I'm preaching, and you receive it with meekness, James 1:21, wherefore receive with meekness God's engrafted word, which is able to save what? Soul. So now, the inner thought from within that I'm dealing with this morning, that you're sitting there thinking, your soul is involved. Everybody got it? Mm-hmm. What's involved?
Soul.
So who's doing the thinking?
You are.
What portion of you are thinking?
Soul.
The soul. See, the inner man is not. See, it's 1 Samuel 16. You can look at me outwardly. You don't see my soul. My soul is deep within me, which encompasses my thoughts. So where I'm trying to reach, when we're trying to reach the person in the audience today, is to reach the inner you. Because the inner you will live on. That's the real you. I don't know that person. See, you can't know my soul. You can't know me. All you know is the outward appearance of me. And I can put on a good show, look holy, dress holy, and you can too. Amen. Let me put it back on you. You can too. You can look holy, dress holy, amen, act holy, talk holy, and be the biggest devil inwardly. There's no holy soul. See, that's what you got to be careful about. Some people who act holy, look holy, are not holy people. Amen. Because their thoughts within are not God's thoughts. And if your thought is not God's thought, then you're not a holy person. You're a fool.
Yeah.
He said, Rubber, why you call us a fool? Well, Jesus called you a fool. Here's what he said. Look at this fool here. So I said, what, bro? Look at this. This is a fool right here. Watch what he said. Everything's about him. He said this. His whole inner thoughts, his whole soul, deepest in the deepest of his soul, it was all about him. Notice what he said.
Soul, thou hast much goods laid up.
Man, you got it going on. I mean, like, you know, the kids say, yeah, that's what's up. We got it going on. I mean, you know. Hey, God, you know, kids, David, I'm just chilling. Yeah, I know you're chilling. So you think you got it going on. And so in your inner person, you think you're good. You're okay. Notice what he said. He think he's good. Man, I got much good laid up. Why you evaluate that on things? Then he says, how long?
He said, for many years.
Well, how many years?
For many years.
Man, this dude said, man, I got it made for another. I got a lot more years to live. How many of you really think like that? I was thinking about that, man. You think about, you know, when I said a while ago, that's really something I just recently thought about. I ain't never been this old, but how many more years I got? I mean, do you think in terms of getting older? Do you know really we're not getting older in the sense of age? We're getting closer to the soul's eternal age. Y'all catch that? Yeah. So every time you celebrate a birthday, we celebrate a day closer to the eternal life of the soul. So once the life ends, the physical life, then the spiritual life is eternal. It's never ending. So what's important here is that this guy's thinking in physical terms when I'm trying to preach this morning in spiritual terms. So the thought within I want you to leave you with is that the spiritual internal thought of you has most important thought. Notice what he said. And he said, think, eat, drink, and be what?
Merry.
But now, what's God's thought about this whole matter? But God said unto him,
thou fool.
What'd he call him?
Thou fool.
I told you. He was a fool, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. The fool is talking crazy, thinking crazy to himself. Now, I used to think it was crazy to talk to yourself. I really did. Until I studied the book of Ecclesiastes, I found out Solomon, wise man that ever lived, talked to himself. He said, I said to myself, he did. He said, Solomon, I'm going to try life without God. That's in my book. But here's the thing. Until then, I said, you know what? You better talk to yourself, but talk to yourself, with some sense. Y'all catch it. Like Brother Stiles said, y'all catch that when you get home. See, now, anytime you don't have no thoughts about what is God's thought about my life right now, that you talking like you ain't got no sense. Mm-hmm. So this man said, so Jesus points out, but God said to him, fool.
This night.
That thinking you doing, this night, you talking about many years, this night,
thy soul.
What's required? Your body? No.
Thy soul.
Your life? No. No, none of that. He said, what I'm dealing with is your soul is going to be required of thee. Then whose thing those be which thou have provided? That's what he said to him. When was he going to die? That night.
Tonight.
What was happening that night? What's going to happen that night? What's going to be required?
Soul.
What was doing the thinking? Soul. What the soul was thinking about? Stuff. Did the soul, think about God? No. Did the soul give God any credit? No. Did God ask God, did the soul ask God anything? No. Have you given God credit for living? Do you give him credit for getting up? Do you give him credit for what you have? For your job? For your home? For your food? For your clothing? Or do you just take every day and think about what you can do next for yourself? That's a fool.
Amen.
So you said, Bro Brooks, I ain't no fool. Well, you know you're a fool. That's why you said you wasn't one. People, you don't like folk don't want you to call them a fool. I've been a fool before. When you anytime we put something before God, that's foolish. That right. All of us been fools at one time or another, wouldn't you say?
Amen.
If you're just honest, is that
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah, but I tell you what, you don't have to be a fool all your life. Amen. Look, let's go to another case, one more case study, and we're going to make this one brief, and I'm going to turn the lesson, because we got some good food over there waiting. I know we got some good food, but then how folk can cook. I know we got some good food. And I want to hug y'all. You know, I know I've been hugging a lot of necks. I sure hope that old stuff ain't out here. Yeah, but I'm going to hug you anyway. We get it, we just get to get it again. Now, 2 Kings 5 is to make y'all laugh a little bit because I call you a fool. You know, whatever you got. Okay. I learned that in preaching Q. If you call somebody a fool, make them laugh. Now, 2 Kings 5, one, the second case study, and then we're going to make it brief. This is about Naaman. Y'all heard of Naaman, haven't you? But Naaman, verse 1, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He's also a mighty man of valor. But he was a what? A leper. That's his problem. I read this one. Let me catch. So I'm going to read. I'll have you pick up where I want. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive of the land of Israel with a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now this woman on knows Naaman's wife. She going to have, she said to her mistress to Naaman's wife, would God my Lord were the prophet that is in Samaria, he will recover him from that. So she's trying to help Naaman. She telling Naaman's wife, just telling him there's a man that can help him with his disease he got, which is leprosy. Y'all know that? Leprosy was a dreadful disease to have. It's for us, it's sin. Sin is a dreadful disease. Now, all of us got this problem this man had here. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus said the maid that is land of Israel and the king of Syria said, go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And the porter took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 chains. So the king of Israel, the king said, well, we're going to send the spirit to the king of Israel. And we're going to tell him to see if we can help Naaman. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to be there. So he's appealing to him, the king of Israel, so he can get Naaman to this man that can, supposedly this girl said can heal him, which is a man of God. And that thou may recover him from his leprosy. So he sent him down there to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel is going to try to help him get to the man that can help him get to, just like whoever helped you get here this morning. See, when somebody invite you to hear the gospel, they're doing like this person. They're inviting you to hear the man that can tell you how to heal your leprosy. You with it? You with me? So that person is an important person in your life. You know that? If somebody invites you here today to hear this, you need it to hear. Amen. That person loves you. They want you to be healed. Now, however, watch what happens when it comes down to the person who need to be healed if they really want to be healed. Notice what it says here. Now, it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, man, who they think I am? My God or somebody? Am I God to kill and make alive that the man does sin unto me to recover a man of leprosy? So he said, man, what y'all, so he sends Naaman to him, the other king sends Naaman to him, and based on what this young lady requested from his wife, and said, and the man, the king of Israel said, what's going on here? And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that this king of Israel had rent his clothes, sent him to the king, saying, wherefore that went thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So then Elijah heard that, man, what's the king all upset about? He don't believe. So you know, why people don't obey God? You know, oftentimes because they don't believe. You say, who gonna be lost? Those who don't believe. Man, do you believe that this book is from God? Yes or no? Like Judge Judy. It's a yes or no answer. It ain't no yeah, but no. Yes or no? Do you believe when I preach from this book that I'm preaching as a man of God? Do you believe that? Elijah saying, what's wrong with the king of Israel? He must not believe. You know why people are going to be lost? It's because they don't believe. There are many people who believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the book that tells them about Jesus. Do you know that qualify you as an unbeliever? Anyone who say they believe in Jesus but don't believe in the Bible, that person don't understand what they're saying, obviously. Because you've never seen Jesus. You never met him before. The only way you know about Jesus is in this book. So my point is this. Elijah saying, hold on, what's the king all of? What you written your clothes for? The girl told him the truth. He was the man of God. I believe I got the truth. I believe I got 100%. Now, do I have to obey this truth? Yes. Will you have to obey this truth? Yes. But because I'm preaching doesn't take away from the fact it's still truth. Is that right? Now, notice what he says. Now, Elijah sent a message, you know what I'm saying? So Naaman came, verse 9 now. Naaman came with his horses, his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Elijah sent a message to him saying, go what? So the man of God said, here's what you got to do. And so the man of God is giving him the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God, the scripture is given by a revelation. God revealed his thoughts to the prophets and apostles. So what Elijah as a prophet is doing is revealing to this man the thoughts of God. So he's telling him this. Here's what you got to do to take care of this leprosy. He said, go and do what? Wash how many times? Seven times. Where about?
In Jordan.
Where?
Jordan.
God is very specific. His thoughts are very specific. This, the only way you can get rid of these sores all over your body, Naaman, is that you got to go to the Jordan River and you got to wash five times.
Seven times.
I know it was seven. I just said it. And they shall come again to thee, thou shalt be clean. It's a simple solution to a big problem. Now I'm going to give you at the end of this lesson a simple solution to a big problem. But it has something to do with your thoughts about what I'm saying. Notice what he says. Elijah's in, but Naaman was what?
Wroth.
Now this is the sick rascal who need to be healed. He gets upset at the answer the man of God gave him. What was he upset at? Elijah? No, the thought. The thought came from God. And his thought was so far away from God's thought, he's upset. He said, no, he said, in one way, he said, behold, I
thought.
What did he say?
I thought.
He said, okay, here he's in the thought. He said, oh, I got to go to Jordan sometime. I thought he would surely, he had it all planned out in his mind, his soul. He said, whatever he going to tell me to do, he going to come out to me, he going to stand over me. And they, you know, in today's world, it probably would look real good. Because, you know, folk be pushing people over. I'll leave them alone. But, you know how these fake healers are in America. They all they get to wave their hand on the person who was in a wheelbarrow and they jump up and start walking. Why you don't never see none of that? Anyway, always in a crowd, somebody catch them when they fall, all that kind of stuff. Because it ain't true. Watch this now. Watch it. Here, I'm getting close to closing here. He will surely come out, stand, call on the name of the Lord for his God. Now he strike his hand over the place and recover what?
The leper.
This is the way he thought it was. He said, are not Abner? What? You see that verse? He said, now in my thoughts, there's a better place to do this at. Abner, far from rivers, are that better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He upset because God, the thoughts of God were, you got to go to Jordan. You got to wash 7 times. He said, man, I think my thoughts are we ought to be in a better river than that one. You see this guy? He said, man, my thoughts are, my soul is thinking I ought to be in some cleaner water. And all the rivers are clean, but why I got to go to that one? Now, that's a dirty one. Notice what he says now. And it's, you gonna help me along, ain't you, every once in a while?
Yeah, well.
Okay, pick me up right there.
And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee
now,
do some great thing,
now,
wouldst thou not have done it?
That was a common sense question to me, like, man, I mean, you go somewhere, I mean, you got to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You know, well, man, did God tell you to do something hard? See, when we get baptized, to be saved, you got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Is that something too hard to do? Did God ask us to do something that was impossible, that we couldn't do, that was hard to do? No, he didn't. But your thoughts are the problem. You thought you just sit there, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. I accept you my personal Savior. See, that's what people's thoughts are on their deathbed. They find out, man, I got 2 hours to live, 5 hours to live. Right then they want a preacher to tell them, what's God's thought about this matter? Then can I just lay here and say, God, forgive me? Well, God's thought was already told to you many times before. See, but your thoughts wouldn't line up with God's thoughts. Know what happened here at that close. Then what happens?
How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the
Jordan. Now the guy considered, in which I hope you would do. See, you can't have a change of thought. I want you to have a change of thought. Sometimes you got to have a change of thought to have a change of direction, to have a change of life.
Amen.
That's the only way you have a change. You gotta have a change of thought. This man was sick. This man needed help. And somebody came to him and made a common sense thought to him. Did God ask you to do anything hard? And he thought about it. See how you can change your thought? The man thought about it, obviously. He went down, he obviously said, and the Bible doesn't record that, but he obviously said, you know what, you're right. I mean, I would just go down there and do what he said and see if it works. Then he went down, he dipped himself seven times
in Jordan.
He did exactly what God told him to do, what Elijah told him to do, in Jordan, according to the sayings of who?
The man of
God. So if I tell you what to do this morning, will you do it? Will you do it? It's according to the sayings of the man of God. So, Brother Brooks, my job as evangelist is to tell you what God's thoughts is about saving your soul by preaching the word of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfectly thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He went down and dipped himself 7 times and joined the corner of sin, and his flesh came again like what?
Unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
He was clean. What's the difference between these two characters? The king had a change in his thought. And it saved him, didn't it?
Amen.
But the rich man, he waited too late. He had no thought change. Now you may be here and you've heard Brother Brooks preach many times. You may be here, you've heard me preach several times. You may be here, you've been to Church of Christ visiting several times. And you have not changed your thought at all. You haven't changed the thought to being that the Bible is right. That's the first change you got to make. If you believe that the Bible is right and your thought within is that the Bible is right, then let me tell you what the Bible say to save your inner man. And let this be a part of your inner thought. Now, at the end of my description from the Word of God of what God's thought is about saving your soul, then if you respond, your soul will respond by walking down and being baptized. Right. Your soul will respond by doing what God said do, because tonight, fool. You say, well, brother, what are you saying? Anyone who rejects God is a fool. And I don't want to be a fool. Do you want to be a fool? Jesus, the Bible said in John 12, 48, he that rejected me, receiving not my word, had one that judging him. The words I have spoken, the same will judge in the last day. You're going to be judged by this. You, God know you at this place. He know Brooks told you the truth. Anybody said in Brooks' audience, heard the cross. When I did preach the cross and I stopped preaching the cross and I stopped preaching the gospel and I stopped talking about salvation and the church of Christ being one, baptism for the remission of sin. When I do that, you'll know Brother Brooks' mind is gone. But if you listen to me more than one time, you ain't gonna have no excuse on the day of judgment, because God gonna say, oh, I see here, what was that date? Oh, that was
February 26th.
Oh, he had just started going on the road. Okay, that's Brooks again. Back at Highland Heights. Yep. There's some in the audience that heard him several times. Oh, you were one of them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the first time Brooks told you that. Oh, wait. I didn't know about that. You lying? Then I see you lying because Brooks told you that morning.
There you go.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. On your book, you know everything coming up?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Everything coming up. This guy, your book of life right here, this little handkerchief I got. Your book of life, white book. Yeah, see you right here. Okay, so what did Brother Brooks tell him? What I'm telling you is this, that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him, not shall not, but should not perish. You should not perish if you believe in Jesus. And so God sent him not into the world to condemn him, this world. He sent him that we. What did God send? Who did God send? His son. Who was his son? Jesus Christ. What did he do?
Died.
He came to this world. What was his thoughts? He came to seek to save the lost. How you know? It's in the book. That was his purpose. He came and he lived among men by 33 years. In the last 24 hours of life, he thought to himself. He said, my soul is troubled. He knew he had come with a mission to do his father's will. And when he got in the garden of Gethsemane, he asked God to let the cup pass, but God didn't respond to him. He sent an angel. But Jesus left that garden of Gethsemane. He walked out of there and he went to six trials at night. Y'all know he stood before Pilate. He stood before Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin court, the chief priests, and the elders. Pilate told him that he said, I don't see nothing wrong. This man haven't done anything. I found no fault with him. You say, what are you doing, brother? Tell him what God put in the word. I found no fault. Say, found no fault with Jesus. Jesus knew he had John 18:3. He knew in his mind he had to go to the cross to save us. After Jesus was beat with a whip, after they put the crown of thorns on his head, they led him to a place called Calvary. Golgotha, the place of the skull. That's what he said. He went there. Them soldiers drove nails in his hands and in his feet. Why was Jesus hung that cross? Why was he between the two thieves? Because he knew each of us was just like Naaman. We had to be cleansed of our disease. And it had to be blood and water. When he died on the cross, the soldier pierced him in the side. Out came blood and water, John 18:34. They took Jesus down off that cross, buried him in a tomb. And Pilate told him, seal it, make it sure you can. But early Sunday morning, he rose with power. And when he said, here's the commission to all men of God who preach this word. In Mark 16:15, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, have that thought within you that if you don't believe, if you don't be baptized, you're not going to be saved. Which makes you qualify as a fool. And that don't even feel good to say. It shouldn't feel good to know. Would it, church? It shouldn't feel good to know I've been foolish. I messed around here and waited too late to get my soul. I just stand before God. It's not, today is a good day to do it. Don't y'all think Highland Heights? Today is a good day to hear the gospel. Believe it. Number one, you got to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, Acts 15:7. The gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection story. Number two, you got to believe it all in your heart. How many of y'all believe he hung, bled, and died on Calvary?
Amen.
The number three, you got to repent. You got to make a change of mind like Naaman did.
Right.
You got to say, man, you're right, Brother Brooks. I need to get this right. That's what that man said. And he went to Jordan 7 times. You got to make the change in your mind when we get ready to do the invitation song. We're getting ready to do the invitation song. We're getting ready to do it. I'm sending him up there. What we want to do, we're going to ask you to stand. Here, what you got. You believe it with all of your heart. You got to repent of your sin. Make the change in your mind. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, if you change, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. Number four, you got to confess with your mouth, with your heart's been made to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What you got to do? Say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When you come down here, I'm going to ask you, say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You answer in affirmative. I do. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a wise thought, wise comment. Then after that, what we going to do? We're going to bury you in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. To be washed in the blood, Revelation 1 and verse 5. And then when you come up out of that water, that's when you're saved. And the Lord adds you to the one church, the Church of Christ, Acts 2:47. And there's only but one church, Romans 16:16. The Bible says, salute one another, holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. But one church in the Bible. But one church in the Bible. Let me ask this question today. Who in this audience already know that your thought within, if God say to you, tonight your soul is required, that in your mind you have rejected him already, that you ain't coming down here. You had already made, I'm not moving, I'm not, I hear what he's saying, but call me a fool if you will. But it's not me that you should worry about. What you should be concerned about is God saying that to you. Is there somebody here who need a change of life? Maybe you've been through some things. Maybe you're going through some things now. Have you thought about the fact that your thoughts have not lined up with God's thoughts? And maybe this is a good day to do it. You can mark your calendar. You say, man, that was the day I lined up with God. Come down, be baptized. And perhaps, maybe you're a member of the Church of Christ. You know, and you kind of strayed away. You know what you need to do? Come home. This is a good time to come home. Come home, go back to work. Some of us get in trouble because we ain't been doing nothing. Go back to work. Go serve the Lord. Find something to do. Amen. Find something to do in the Lord's kingdom. Is that right? How life? They're working hard. There's plenty to do here. You can do it right here. Or find somewhere where the Lord's truth is being taught and serve the Lord. But today, what is your thought within about your soul? Are you okay? Do you need to repent? Do you need to be baptized? If you do it, we got a song we carry. Remember what's the name of it?
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
He said, I want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a person who's not a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. That's what you do. You come down here and we're baptized. You'll leave a Christian today. You'll leave a Christian. If you are a Christian, act like a Christian. Repent of your sin if you need to and do what the Lord told you. Do it now. As together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Come with me.
In my heart.
Come to
him.
In my heart. Your thought within is to come to God. Come to him.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Don't you want to be a Christian?
In my heart.
What's your thought within?
In my heart,
would you come to him this morning?
Lord,
come to him,
Lord,
God,
I want to
be
more loving.
Maybe somebody need prayer.
In my heart,
what is your
in my
about your soul,
heart,
about your salvation,
Lord,
about God,
I want to be more loving.
In my heart.
In my heart. in my heart.
In
my heart.
Let him in your life.
Lord,
I want
to be more holy in my heart.
In my heart.
May God bless you.